To me, I'm all for it. Like, I saw the internet, like, the backlash about it, but I just don't understand it. I want Tom Brady to date Kim Kardashian so badly. I think it is the ultimate way for him to get back at Giselle is to go Kim K. Like the lean in hard for, like, in the opposite way from Giselle would be Kim K. Now, obviously, if you're talking about a complete opposite of Giselle, would be like the woman who lives in the trailer park down the road from your house. But what I'm talking about, meaning like in the celebrity world of like beautiful women, going from Giselle to Kim K is like almost as polar opposite as you could get. And maybe the only woman who's worth more than Giselle who can compete. And I like it way more than Tom Brady dating some like 22-year-old model. I don't like to go the Leonardo DiCaprio route. Right, we're not trying to get into that route. I am all for Tom Brady and Kim Kardashian. I want it. I need it. I think it would be amazing, amazing content. Watching all the Boston sports fans trying to handle Tom Brady coming back to his jersey retirement with Kim K in his arm, that would be hilarious. That would be awesome to watch. Because eventually when they break up in like 2 years from now, that moment in time then is captured with like, there's Tom in Boston in like a snowy day getting his number retired, and like right off to the right is Kim. And then they got to like try to edit her out in like future videos. It's just it's the content I want, dude.
I mean, the Kanye versus Tom Brady situation be very intriguing, I suppose.
He thought he had a lot to deal with Antonio Brown. Wait till he dips into that bag of insane.
Right. Yes. Exactly. Exactly. I don't know how this will all play out, but you know, to each his own. The man's got to spread his wings and fly. So
he's spreading something.
Dear God. All right. Moving on to the state of the modern day NFL running back. This is a position that is in apparel, Mark. This is not a good thing. Not a good look for the NFL. Not a good look for any of those kids out there that are playing football right now wanting to be a running back, because that is clearly not the move to make. What are your thoughts as we get ready to talk about the state of the running back, the metrics that support its downfall, and the financial numbers that are very concerning?
I think that it's not as dire as we're going to play it out to be. And I have a whole way to, like, if I had a kid who was like a 13 or 14 year old son who was, you know, really wanted to be a running back, I have a method of way, a madness to where it's like, no, you can still make yourself an incredible living and star power out of being a running back. I think it's going to take a mix of college and NFL and like predicting your path in the right way, but I don't think it's as dire as we think. So I have a little bit more glass half full attitude towards this going into it. Just want everyone to know, but I will say, I do believe the NFL, as we stand here today, never in the history of the NFL has the running back position been worth less. Whether that's good or bad, I don't know exactly, because it takes a while to like spread from these eras to look at things. But I do know that scoring is up and people watching the game is up. So maybe it is the right way the NFL is headed. It's just becoming more of a 7-on-7 league.
Well, the position obviously isn't going away. It never will, yeah. I don't think. No. So to that extent, I'm kind of with you in terms of the glass half full aspect. But there is a whole empty portion of that glass that I am, you know, fully on board with in terms of, you know, believing that it's staying that way.
Yeah.
And in that case, I think there are some concerning signs for the running back position, and maybe what type of archetype of running back that we're going to be needing to see moving forward. So lots more to come here on this episode where we discuss the state of the modern day NFL running back.
So obviously what has spearheaded this discussion is not just the last several years of watching the running back position being undervalued or devalued even in the NFL circles, but also because we have some topical issues at hand with a few teams here, being the Dalvin Cook release, and he has not since signed a contract with any other team, which we half expected anyways, probably looking towards more training camp injuries and spots opening up on rosters before that time comes, but also two players that are set to play on their franchise tags that have not yet signed those, that being the Raiders Josh Jacobs and the New York Giants Saquon Barkley, two of the best running backs in the NFL. Josh Jacobs coming off of the rushing title last season, and Saquon obviously having a big bounce back year after a couple down years with injuries and such, both looking for their due at the position. And with their franchise tag being a small potatoes, $10 million, not to us certainly, but in the realm of the NFL, they are not willing to play ball with that figure right now. And so this has kind of opened up this conversation. We've got a little bit of a slideshow here to kind of work through some of the metrics and the financial details. But Mark, I'll toss it to you to kind of get your introductory thoughts on these situations with Josh Jacobs, Saquon Barkley, and even Dalvin Cook, and what we're likely to see in the NFL, seeing how this plays out throughout the league.
Yeah, I'll start with Dalvin Cook. I think the biggest thing for him, what he's realized and why now it's taking time for him to get signed, and I think it's starting to now matriculate down where we're all understanding it, is that because no one was willing right away to give him a multi-year, nice-size contract, he is doing the smartest thing where he is waiting it out to see if an opening spot opens up on a good team. Someone goes down in camp, and then all of a sudden a team gets desperate and they'll pay up big time to then up the bidding war. So I think that's where Cook is at right now. I mean, at least that's the thing that only makes logical sense for me. I would say, what I love about the Jacobs and the Barkley situation for us is that I think it's really two very unique situations to where both of them, I think, should play it very differently. I'm all for Saquon Barkley and support Saquon Barkley holding out and saying, no, 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 no. You need me way more than I need you. Saquon knows that the moment that the Giants signed Daniel Jones that deal, now that hurt him as far as the money, but it should help him as far as the getting an actual contract done and securing up the longevity, the years. You know what I mean? Like, tie me to Daniel Jones. If you're saying Daniel Jones should be your quarterback, well, he's been most successful when I have been with him and we have been healthy together, tied together. So I support Saquon Barkley and the idea of holding out. I think it makes sense that he has a little bit of power in that situation with the Giants. For the Josh Jacobs situation, I feel the opposite way. If I was Josh Jacobs, listen, $10 million guaranteed all straight into the bank account in Nevada, especially one of those states with the no income tax. That's pretty darn good money, all things considered. And If I was Josh Jacobs, to me, signing the franchise tag for an organization that, again, is going to need you badly this year and going and putting up big numbers, I think his market for a future contract with a different team is better than Saquon. Saquon's had the injury bug bad. Josh Jacobs really hasn't. Josh Jacobs has had a more stable career. He's also 1 year less in the NFL than Saquon. And Josh Jacobs was a first rounder already. Saquon was a high first rounder. Josh Jacobs was a low first rounder. It's not like he's got no money in his career so far. And he has now spent 3 of the 4 years in Nevada as opposed to California. So the tax situation, if I was in his corner, I would say, look, yeah, it's not great. But if we're able to hit free agency next year, I think there's a contract out there for him, similar to what like David Montgomery got this year. I absolutely could see a team looking at Josh Jacobs if he stays healthy this year and has another 1,000-yard season, which he's done 3 of his 4 years, saying, we will sign Josh Jacobs to a 3-year, $12 million type of deal and get him into our system. And if you're Josh Jacobs, getting out of that bad organization might be just exactly what you want to do. So I feel like it's different. I would encourage Josh Jacobs to just sign it, keep your head down, be a good locker room guy, go try to lead the league in rushing again in an offense where you're going to get a lot of carries, you're going to get a lot of work. And then what's the worst that happens? They either try to franchise you again next year. Well, then there'll be a much bigger number. Because remember, when you double down, that number, if you franchise guy, tag a guy a multiple years in a row, that number jumps up exponentially. Or they get you to a longer deal then, or you hit free agency and you can control your own destiny. Because what looks bad for an NFL running back is like what happened to Cook. You get cut because your number's heavy, right? What looked good for an NFL running back like David Montgomery is you're just a free agent and you're coming off a productive year. Saquon is different. I don't think the market will be juicy for Saquon in a year from now. I think Saquon, if he's trying to secure a nice bag, I think it's in New York. They know him. They want him. He sells the jerseys there. Saquon's also made a lot of money. He's in endorsements. You don't see Josh Jacobs on Subway commercials. So I think Saquon's got more juice to hold out, and I would encourage him to maybe think about doing that versus Josh Jacobs.
That's interesting. I see Saquon's value being pretty high on the open market next year because of his, you know, dual threat ability. Now, Josh Jacobs can catch the ball, but not like Saquon can. And so Saquon has the ability to be way more explosive than Josh Jacobs. Like, I could see a team like Kansas City going after a guy like Saquon. Or, you know, we even saw what San Fran kind of gave the bag to Christian McCaffrey. You know, despite his years of injury, and they're relatively the same age, you know. So I think if Saquon has another year like he had last year, they would both return, you know, similar value, and Saquon maybe even a little bit more so.
Yes.
But both, you know, that we didn't mention, they have until July 17th. So they, yes, there are 7 days from the day of this recording that they have to sign this franchise tag. Otherwise, they can't negotiate an extension until after the 2023 season. So this is like put up or shut up time for both sides, because if it gets to July 17th, it's one of two options: signing that franchise tag or holding out the entire 2023 season, because there is no option for a long-term extension at that point for either of these players until after the season.
I want to make it clear my Saquon point, because I mean, I'm not disagreeing that Saquon wouldn't have a market, but I do think the most important thing you said there is if he has a season like he just did and if he can make it through the season healthy. I think holding out is one of those things that helps Saquon guarantee he makes it through a season fairly healthy, or has, you know what I mean? You track out his production numbers. And I do think Saquon has more leverage where if he holds out and they are not performing well, that will force the Giants' hand even more. Now, they can't negotiate a new contract at that point, but it may help him in negotiations with the Giants in the off seasons. If you see now how valuable I truly am to your offense, let's get something done. I to me, it's more just if I'm Josh Jacobs, the biggest thing for me is I think I want to just leave that organization. Like the Raiders are maybe dead in the water. I think the Raiders could be an organization where Josh McDaniels, I mean, if he doesn't have a solid year, and it could get ugly in Vegas. And they have a poor owner who's not going to ante up and pay a running back a lot of money. You know what I mean? Like, yes, the franchise tag is low for running backs at just under $11 million. But again, in Nevada, it's much better than it is in New York or Illinois or you know, California. You take that money. He's seen as a good locker room guy. There's nothing negative about Josh Jacobs. He's been healthier in his career. And I think his market value in the NFL is high. Saquon, if he stays healthy, then yeah, we could consider Saquon being someone we want to add. But I think
assuming both are healthy in this situation. Because you could say the same for Josh Jacobs, who doesn't
I would have rather
a history,
have Josh
but,
Jacobs going into next year. If they're both healthy, like I trust Josh.
Yeah,
Jacobs.
See, I would take Saquon. I would take Saquon in that you know hypothetical, but
it's tough. He's so reliant on you know, his health has just been so bad those 2 years. I mean, he's already had, was it the ACL? And then the you know, the year he was healthier. I mean, he played 13 games in that season after the ACL, and the production was just brutal because of nagging little injuries.
And they were just a bad team overall too. Yeah. But yeah, like to your point, Josh Jacobs hasn't had great teams. Yeah, you know, grass isn't always greener. Le'Veon Bell learned that lesson certainly too. And he
holding out value, can be risky.
His value was deemed to be as high as it could ever be when he held out in 2018. So yeah, there are certainly some potential risks, whichever way you slice it. But let's get into this number crunching situation here and kind of take a holistic look at the running back position as it relates to its peers, especially when it comes to offense in the NFL. So we've got the slideshow here, the NFL's running back problem, and it's something that's been brewing over the last decade plus, Mark. We know, like, back to the heyday of the running back position where it was really the stalwart of the offense. You know, quarterback's yeah. always been the primary position, since the merger, since the Super Bowl era, even. That's been the position that makes everything run. But the running back was always seen as like the second most important to the quarterback, just because of the run heavy approach that NFL teams implemented and the ability for the great running backs to have 10-year careers at that position. But as the league has become more and more physical and more has been demanded in terms of the athleticism at that position and the types of running plays and just the dominant defensive lines that have been curated over the years, the running back position has steadily become less and less of a sure thing in the NFL. And so as we kind of look at the salaries by the position, just looking in the last decade, this was from Sports Illustrated and SpotTrac, who both kind of tracked these salaries. 2013 was about as far as I could go. I looked up like 2005 to see if we can find some comparable numbers, but it was hard to find anything reliable. These are also something that aren't ironclad numbers because there's a lot of, finagling with the salary cap and numbers kind of vary based on who pulls the data. But these are fairly reliable, as about as reliable as we can get right now in terms of numbers. So the quarterback position in 2013 on average, now, mind you, this is third string quarterbacks, and all of that, rookie quarterbacks throughout the league. 2013, it was 3.8 million. Running backs were 1.5. Wide receivers, 1.8. Tight ends, 1.4. So running backs are right there with those other skill positions, mainly wide receiver and tight end. But in the last decade, we've seen a pretty substantial increase for wide receiver salaries and tight end salaries, of course, quarterbacks as well, that those have ballooned. And so these averages don't look that big when you're just looking at it on the screen here. 4.8 million on average for a quarterback in 2023. Well, we know that that's not the true average of starting quarterbacks in the league. So, but even so, in the last 10 years, the position on average has gained an extra $1 million per year. That's nothing to sneeze at. We're counting all quarterbacks on the roster. Running backs only grown $250,000, whereas wide receiver has grown almost $500,000. Tight end has grown nearly $700,000 per year in just the last decade. So, and I thought the increased percentages were important. So that's kind of when I took these two columns here and tracked to see what the percent increase was, because I think that tells the story. Quarterbacks have seen a near 25 or 26% increase in their salary. Wide receivers, 25% increase. Tight ends, a whopping 42% increase over the last decade. They have become, with the Travis Kelce's and the Rob Gronkowski's emerging as like the guys that can be, focal points of your aerial attack now, and that position has really changed a lot. A near 50% increase is pretty spectacular, but running back, only 17%, and that increase is getting smaller and smaller as the years go on. So I'll defer to you, since I've kind of been long-winded here in this explanation of these numbers. What are your thoughts when you're just looking at these, plain as day, laid out for you?
Well, part of it is you have to remember the running back position, even in the last decade from 2013 to 2023, what you're asking or what you want out of your starting running back is just different. You know, you used to be able to want, you had your roster was, I need the guy who's a three down bell cow back. And then you have your quick, small guy, your Darren Sproles, who's your, all right, it's third and long and we bring a guy on. And it's just so changed in the sense that your running back now has to be like a Alvin Kamara. They have to be able to carry the load and also be a threat to pass block, because the passing game has just exploded so much to catch balls out of the backfield. And so not only are you're not increasing the money, you're asking your running backs to be more versatile while also killing off guys like, I think about Anthony Thomas, the A-Train, the Bears running back in the early 2000s, the Jerome Bettises. Those guys just like, they don't exist anymore. You know what I mean? That's like Vince Wilfork.
Derrick Henry's the closest thing, but he's even a major athletic freak at the position. Yeah.
But like, there used to be teams had the Thunder and the Lightning. Like, that's what
Larry Johnson.
And now it's just not. It's just different. So it's funny. We're asking your tight ends to do more. You're asking your wide receivers to do more. You're asking your quarterbacks to do a lot more. You're asking your running backs to do a lot more to be different. And yet they're not seeing the pay increase. And part of it, I think, is coming to is that you have so many elite athletes that you're now being able to make it easier to play the running back position, in the sense that we're not going to give you 400 carries in a season. You know what I mean? So like, they're asking you to do different things. And so it's opened up the position to a lot of other guys to play the position and to be good at playing the position. Where a guy like who's the size of an Alvin Kamara back in the 80s, it just didn't work as well. Like, you know what I mean? You had to be able to withstand, you know what I mean, Jack Lambert and Lawrence Taylor and those guys just destroying you hit after hit after hit. It's just different now. It's more about speed. It's more about open field and space. So you have guys who can convert from wide receiver to running back, and as opposed to having like breed a running back from the age of 10 on.
I think nowadays you're spot on, because they're asking for a more specialized skill set at that position. Whereas in the past, you were able to get away if you were a between the tackles runner, you could be that and succeed. Yeah. Or if you were a James White specialist only pass catcher out of the backfield, you could have a role. Nowadays, they are asking for the previous anomalies of the NFL, the Marshall Faulks, the LaDainian Tomlinsons, the Barry Sanders, the Gale Sayers, those that were very few and far between at that skill set. That is now asked of you to be the norm now.
Yeah, that's
now they need you to be Christian McCaffrey, to be Saquon Barkley in the NFL. And that's a hard ask for people at the position. You can still succeed at the wide receiver position if you're a giant 50-50 ball catcher like DeAndre Hopkins, or you could succeed by being the underneath incredible route runner specialist like Devontae Smith, or you could be the slot guy that is, you know, hyper-specialized, the Wes Welkers of the world. You can all be a focal point of your offense at those specific skill sets. But now for the running back, it's such a unique position in that you're only allotted one of them on the field typically at a time, you know, in terms of where they line up, and they need them to be as versatile as possible. And that's a very tall ask, even for today's athlete that has become, you know, very, very versatile and incredibly athletic. That's still a tall ask for someone to fit that profile, which is why someone like Bijan Robinson kind of bucked the trend this year and went top 10 in the draft, because guys like that are very hard to come by. If another Christian McCaffrey is in the draft the next 2 years, Jahmyr Gibbs, you know, he went early. Like, we're not going to see first round running backs very often, but when we do, they're going to be they're only going to be the guys that like have that ability to be true three down backs and split out wide and run routes and do all that you're asked of. And so that's why it's a tough
and even if you're paying them a first round salary, like we just talked about with Saquon Barkley and Josh Jacobs, both first round guys, that money is just not what it used to be. It's not going to kill your salary cap. And you get the fifth year extra option on them. So you could even keep them that extra year before you have to pay them. And then after 5 years of being a starting running back, what do you say? You say, well, you're too old now. You got too much tread on the tires. We're moving on to the next one. I mean, it all sets up really well to be like running back is going to be the position that gets like least added to as far as Hall of Famers, like in the future, like, because just guys not having the ability to have a 10-year career anymore.
Yeah, or just to even just put up the, you know, they could be dominant, but the guy we're probably going to be talking about in the next, you know, 5 or 6 years is Derrick Henry. And like, yeah, he's been really dominant, but he's even a question mark of, is he going to the Hall of Fame? Like, even if he has another 2 years of sustained success, it still might be tough because the benchmark used to be 10,000 yards. But that has since become less of a notable benchmark for rushing. And on top of that, it's just the position isn't being utilized the way it used to be. And so you're not having the types of games that we're used to seeing from some of those players. So I'll move on to the next slide here, talking about those franchise tag numbers. And that's where we stand right now, is the ballooning of financial commitments in the NFL towards positions. The quarterback franchise tag now is $32.4 million. It's grown steadily. I remember when we were talking about Kirk Cousins about, 7 years ago, and it was $25 million. It's already grown $7 million since Kirk Cousins and Washington back in his day there. The running back position is now $10.09 million. Those are peanuts compared to the rest here. Wide receiver, $19.74 million, and tight end, $11.35 million. So tight end's getting almost $1.5 million more on the franchise tag.
Yeah.
Despite that position definitely having probably 50% fewer touches per game than a running back. And, you know, running back's got a pass block as well. So it's got to do that position that, work that the tight end has to do. And just, you know, as a quick refresher for those out there who may not be fully aware of the franchise tag, it is the average of the top five salaries at that position. So the top five paid running backs in the league, you take the average, and that's what the franchise tag is for that position, or it's 120% of your previous salary. In almost every case, it's going to be the latter. It's whatever's highest, and it's almost always going to be the average of the top five. So that's where you get those numbers. But look at that. I mean, wide receiver nearly double the price.
We were just talking about how Travis Kelce, you know, he had a quote recently talking about how he knows he's underpaid and tight end guys wanting more of the wide receiver number. I mean, he puts up more numbers than these wide receivers who are getting tagged, and they're making almost $20 million. I do think it's just one of those moves that it makes it even more like the NFL doesn't have, I don't think, open collusion, but this is the way you could say there is collusion by, you know, we work in an industry in you know, like when you worked in local TV or for me in like local radio, you always hear, oh, well, we pay competitive salary. So, well, if there's three companies that run it all and they have all of the television, you know, markets. And if they all just kind of nod and agree, oh, well, they're only paying you this much and they're only going to offer you, then they never have to change it. Cause the competitive salary is just what they decide. You know what I mean? As long as no one gives someone a giant raise, then everything is competitive. And that seems to be what's stuck here with the running back market, is the NFL general managers and teams are just basically holding the line steady and saying, this is what we're doing. Like, no one's given more realistically than that $13, $14 million, if that, and that's really, really pushing it a year. And so if we just hold strong to that, it makes tagging Saquon Barkley and tagging Josh Jacobs, and Tony Pollard got tagged too. Remember in Dallas, $10 million for those guys. It's a steal, because if you get the production, it's great. And you, and you run the risk of saying to your fan base too, listen, we wanted him. We couldn't negotiate a deal. Their asking price was crazy. So we tagged him. Then he got injured, and then we waived him a year later, and then you move on. And, it's tough when you're then you're Dalvin Cook and you have this big salary, you can just get cut as well. And then you're not getting any of that money because you're cut. You know what I mean? They have to pay a certain amount, but it's not what you thought it was going to be. So it's a tight, tight rope to walk. To me, the craziest number in that is the wide receiver number. I mean, the fact that it's up to $20 million. You got to really love that wide receiver to tag him for just that 1 year at $20 million. And most wide receivers right now, their value's just grown with the quarterback so much, or the best friend tight end has grown with the quarterback so much, because your goal is to make your quarterback comfortable, right? And they want that target. They want that familiar face, that Travis Kelce. They want that AJ Brown right there that they can look at, that they know and they're familiar with, that friend of a friend. You know what I mean? Reggie Wayne was always tied with Peyton Manning in those years post Marvin Harrison. Well, now we got to pay Reggie because that's the guy. Like it's your friend, and I think that's so much of why the wide receiver value has gone up. Not because necessarily wide receivers become that much more important, but it's about keeping your quarterback happy and healthy. And productive, and wide receivers do more for the quarterback's production right now than anything. And with quarterback salaries skyrocketing, GMs have to justify that as well. And Dan, I'll toss it back to you. And this, I think part of this is, of these four positions up there, what is the easiest position in the modern day NFL, the modern day West Coast offense, you know, pre-West Coast offense, and you know, Walsh coming on out and really changing the way the NFL, like the idea that we're going to become a quarterback league in the late 80s, you know what I mean? And exploding, like pre that, like the running back was like the hardest position to do because you were physically just beaten to death. But now of these positions, like the running back might have the easiest as far as learning the position.
Sure. Like it's easiest to transition to the NFL as a running back than it is a tight end, quarterback, or in some cases, even a wide receiver. Wide receiver might be comparable somewhat because at the end of the day, it's route running but learning the playbook. But at the same time, you're facing increased competition at the cornerback position, which is, you know, the number one arch nemesis of a receiver.
And I will say, corner play in college is not, it's probably the worst position group in college, like corners.
Yeah. It's such a hard position to play.
It's why there's always three or four first round cornerbacks. Cause it's, if you have a guy that you even think can play at the NFL level, you got to take him because they're going to be gone. You never hear the draft experts going, it's a really deep corner draft. No, there's always like four guys and the rest are like, well, his size is good, so maybe we can teach him into becoming a good corner.
A lot of dart throws, for sure. But that also brings me, I'm glad you mentioned that, because that kind of goes into my other point that I wanted to bring up about this, is we talked about the evolution of the positions themselves and the type of athlete. Wide receivers, they have grown too, as you know, the athlete in general has become bigger, stronger, faster. So wide receivers have as well. And running backs have become more athletic and things like that. The issue is running backs are going up against defensive linemen and linebackers. And those positions have seen, and I'm not, you know, talking from like, I don't have like data points to back this up. I think it's more about the eye test will tell you. Linebackers and defensive linemen, the athleticism and the speed at which they play compared to 2005 players of that position, you can tell the difference big time. And those are the direct deterrents to a running back, right? So a running back is having to go up against these guys that you could argue are the best athletes on the field at the defensive end, defensive tackle, and linebacker positions. Whereas wide receivers that have become just as athletic in the evolution of the athlete are going up against cornerbacks that you could say have not had a similar evolution to that of the linebacker or the defensive tackle. Cornerbacks are, you know, maybe a little bit faster than they used to be, but we're not seeing, you know, Champ Bailey could still easily hack it in today's league. And you could talk, you could say that about any great Rod corner Woodson. Of the last 60 years could still be very good in today's NFL. I just feel like it's a little bit, they have a little bit tougher of a test running backs do nowadays than wide receivers.
That's a really interesting point. I think what I would argue is like, it's not necessarily that it's easier. It's not necessarily that it's harder on the running back, because I do think the guys like Ray Lewis and Brian Urlacher and Mike Singletary, I mean, you know, sure. I mean? Like they laid the wood on running backs. The difference I really do think is in the defensive line, where you used to be as a running back, if you got a good block on it, like a zone scheme or something, and your offensive line created a hole, you were so much faster than the defensive line. Correct. To where all it took was that daylight and you could go and you could break off a 10, 15 yard run. And you were always faster than the linebackers too. Now you have D linemen running 4.5s. You know what I mean? And you have linebackers running 4.3s. So if you're a running back and you're a bigger, strong 4.4 running back, you know what I mean? I go back to the Anthony Thomas A train, you know what I mean? Example, even like a guy like a Derrick,
like Marshawn Lynch, even, or
Marshawn Lynch, great, a more modern example. Like, you're not outrunning those guys anymore. Not only does it take a great block, but then it takes insane vision, cut ability, and all that stuff to actually break off the 10 yard run. And the other thing is, because the rules have changed to make the passing game so much easier.
Absolutely.
Slants,
that's a big part.
Bubble screens. Why risk? You know what I mean? Why risk running the ball? Like the part of it is the analytics of the game. Like, you have the guys who are brilliant Twitter followers and the brilliant minds like a Warren Sharp. He will literally rip your team apart if you run the ball first down, second down, pass, third down, four and out, like three and out. Like, you get so burned, and GMs see it. They say the efficiency is take the pass. You should never run on first down. So your offenses and the numbers are all saying your success rate, all these things lean towards putting it in your quarterback's hands and the tight end, the wide receiver, or the running back on a quick bubble screen or a quick, you know, a screen play, or a running back, just dump it out to the running back. So you're, again, all of these things create the snowball effect that you're asking the running backs to do different things. The position is different in the sense of, we're not asking you to bulk up and take on 300-pound, Vince Wilfork every day, you know, anymore, and Ray Lewis and just get pounded on. And all of that's led to the fact that they're becoming guys, just you can find them in the seventh round, like Isaiah Pacheco. And they're more than serviceable, especially if you believe in your quarterback and your system. And it used to be your system was your star running back. And then you just, if your running back was Eric Dickerson, who was a little more speed and flash, you drafted linemen and you rid schemes to just open up that. If your star running back was Jerome Bettis, you drafted linemen and schemes where we're going to pound it tackle to tackle. And that's how we're gonna grind out games and win games 13-7. But now that just does not exist anymore in the NFL. Derrick Henry is the closest thing to that. But even now, like, Derrick Henry's only successful in the sense that he's a gigantic freak of an athlete and still outruns.
And he's a good pass. I mean, he actually is a good catcher and he can outrun guys. We saw that 99-yard run against the Jaguars. That's like, he has that ability.
If the Titans go and win the Super Bowl this year with Derrick Henry rushing for 2,000 yards and catching for 700 yards, if they do that, then it will once again prove, if you have the right system in place with a great defense, you can still win a Super Bowl this way, like the 85 Bears model. But that's become now so rare that it's like the outlier. Yeah, the 2004 Detroit Pistons were incredible. They were the last team in the NBA to just win it with no sure ballot Hall of Fame top 20 type generational talent, and they did it with defense. That's how much of an outlier it is. In the last 20 years, it happened one time, and it hasn't happened in coming in 20 years. Like, so in the NFL, we are approaching that realm of where it I don't remember the last time you'd argue it was a running back and defensive-led team that really won the team the Super Bowl.
Yeah, it's been a very long time, I'd say. Like, I mean, you
maybe
could argue
Seattle, like maybe Seattle, but even then, that was
yeah,
Seattle.
But even then,
was,
Russell Wilson was pretty.
Yes,
was
but
still
Seattle,
pretty good, but yes,
the
Seattle and maybe
known as McMahon. What, you know, he was very comparable to Russell at that time. Now we think of Russell more later because of what he did post Super Bowl, but in the moment, I guess they were the last team that you would say they did it that way.
Certainly the most recent. Yeah, I would agree with that. And that's only once in the last 20 years. I mean, because then you'd probably have to go back to the 05 Steelers. And they weren't even like heavy run.
Ravens.
It was really just a dominant defense.
Yeah, and before that. So, like, it's just changed so much. And I do think that leads to the devaluing of the running back as far as financial. And it's fine. Now, listen, there are plenty of other guys out there who say, I'd love a $10 million, you know, 1 year, $10 million. Cause there's other yeah. positions that aren't making that. So it is, it's hard because they're going to put up stats. They're going to be some of your favorite players. And you're going to have to say goodbye to them. You know what I mean? Like, as a Bears fan over the last couple of years, two of my favorite players over the last 7 years were Jordan Howard and then David Montgomery. And I was pissed when they let Jordan Howard go. And then David Montgomery shows up and he was great. And then I was pissed when they let David Montgomery go. And now they've gone with Roschon Johnson. You take him in the fourth round, you think, well, this is probably going to be the next guy. And they're going to run him into the ground for 4 years, and then I'll be sad when he goes, and they draft a new guy. I think where the NFL has to be careful is that what are the values that these guys are getting? You know, what are you paying third, fourth rounders? How can you find a way to compensate guys maybe more on incentive-laden, you know, contracts or things like that? Can you build in better incentives if you are a fourth-round kid who's a running back? Maybe take a little less guarantee, but if you believe in yourself, maybe you can negotiate with your agent when you're drafted incentives. Like, if I lead this team in rushing, you're going to pay me an extra $1 million bonus or whatever it might be. Those are the type of things you have to maybe start get creative with.
Yeah, very true. Very true. That's interesting. And I want to stay on that point in just a moment. So bring me back there because I have something from SB Nation. They kind of put forth a potential remedy for this problem. I'm not sure how well it will work or if it's, you know, plausible. But it's a theory and it's something to work with. But I do want to go back because you did mention the, you know, other positions that are paid, you know, less than a running back. But interesting enough, I'm curious what your thoughts are. So the average running back makes $1.78 million in the league. What positions do you think make less on average?
On average, I would say like, someone in the back end, like a safety or a free safety, obviously, I think there's probably like you'd find someone like guards or centers, interior defensive linemen, maybe, but it's maybe like an outside linebacker. Linebackers aren't paid a ton.
I don't know. Edges are paid pretty
well.
Low,
yeah, though, but that's different. An edge versus just, you know, a 4-3 outside linebacker.
Sure, sure. Yeah. The answer is the running back on average makes $1.78 million. Only punters make less on average in the entire league.
In the 2023.
And the occasional and long snappers. Kickers make more. And every other position makes more. And it makes more so much that they're all making over $2 million. So
they're the only ones still with the punters and the long snapper stuck beneath $2 million on average.
Correct. Correct.
Yeah, now that
I believe the kicker is just at $2 million somewhere right there.
Yeah,
but
that's
shocking. And certain special teams players, obviously, because they're not grouped into positions necessarily. So, you know, some guys that are like, the end of the roster and they're going to play like five special team snaps or something like that, like gunners. They make just about the same as running backs do. But that's crazy. A gunner is potentially making the same amount of money as an NFL running back. Like even a backup running back or third string running back, they're seeing, you know, snaps. And those guys aren't making very much. That was kind of fascinating. I didn't expect that. But that is now offensive tackles are making like $8 million, you know. They're making quite a bit. So there are some positions that are very inflated, but yeah, the running back position is just not making very much. But now to go back to the SB Nation thing, they posed a possibility of having a fund, a running back fund that teams can spend that doesn't count against the cap. And how they kind of worded this was, and I'm quoting the article, by the way, the links to these, the graph on the next slide and some of these stats, all the links will be in the description. If you're watching YouTube, they'll be in the description there. So please check that out. They said it would be to have a, quote, separate pool of money which exists outside of the salary cap and is earmarked for players at positions like running back. The overflow pool would allow for a top-tier running back to earn an extra $10 million or more per year without risking the financial stability of the roster as a whole, end quote. So it's interesting to think about, but I'm not sure how that would work in practice because I don't know where the teams would get this money and how the NFLPA would work that into their negotiations.
Yeah,
because it's basically saying we'll allow you to spend this money on a player without it counting against your cap.
Yeah, I mean, it's creative, but, you know, that's one of those things. If I was in the tight ends, I'd be like, well, I want that. We want that for us, too. Like, I mean, exactly. I think it.
Yeah.
I think that the way you fix it is just you have to have running backs who continue to prove they can stay, you know, healthy. I hate to say it, but it's going to take the guys like a Josh Jacobs is a great example. Like he has stayed healthy and for the most part, and like, if he has another really healthy, stay healthy year, like, it's going to take those guys proving, you know, Adrian Peterson was healthy and then he came back from his ACL and was just as set. Like, it's going to take those type of guys because you need someone to increase the franchise tag value, right? Like, you need those contracts.
They can't be the anomaly anymore.
They can't be the anomaly. That's a great way to say it. They have to find ways to put their franchise in a tight spot. And I also think part of that is like Saquon right now, part of him holding out or like trying to get that big deal. I think that's part of it, is that like, you made the dumb decision to pay the quarterback this much money. Well, you know, this quarterback is only as good as the people around him. He is not carrying a bad roster. So you got to pay up, pay me too. It's tough. I think I don't know if there is an easier answer than it takes that. I mean, and the guys, you're just got to hope you're in the right situation at the right time to get paid. And you have got to have people in your corner, if you're a running back, who are smart, who you trust, and you say, listen, when you finally get those checks from the NFL, they are going to be few, they're going to be far between, and they're going to dry up quick. So do not go out there and make the dumb decisions. Who cares if the wide receiver next to you bought the giant chain? Like, you've got to be smarter, because right now, your industry is not valuing you the way your industry is valuing the guy sitting right next to you, who you may be producing more than and even more valuable to the wins. It's just the way it is. Not everyone can get paid. The salary cap league, not everyone can get paid. And running back is in a sense, the position where most anyone could play it athletically. You know what I mean? Like, you could just put someone there and they could just be a blocking guy and like protect the quarterback and then maybe catch a couple dump passes, or, you know what I mean? Like, cause that's just the way the NFL is going now. So you've got to find a way to make yourself really valuable. And Dan, it goes back to like what I was saying at the beginning of like, if I had a kid who's that 13, 14 year old who was going to, who's playing running back and wanted to be a running back, one of the really important things you have to do is try to go to the right college where you could get some NIL deals too. Like, start making money. Cause in college, the running back is still a star. Like, I mean, you build your program a lot of time around a running back because you just don't have enough quarterback talent. So if you're one of those kids who's a star running back, capitalize in college, get those NIL deals, make that $2 or $3 million if you can while you're at the university, and start investing that right away, because you're going to end up drafted probably in the second, third, fourth round, and you'll make less money in the NFL to start than you were in college. And then, you know what I mean? Like, and then you're, but if you already have an NIL deal where you're a big name, like a Bijan Robinson or whatever, you're going to get those deals local, regionally, whatever market you're in. Take as much of that money as you can. Advertise yourself. If you're in college, take the smart classes, business classes combined with like social media marketing. How do you market yourself beyond that? So you could try to capitalize as much as you can. If you end up being a running back in Tampa, drafted in the fourth round, but you had a nice name coming out of college because you were a star at Oklahoma and you made good money there, like, find that way to just make that money on the side. You're going to have to hustle. Like, you have to do it in a different way. You are.
Yeah. And the problem that the position is facing as well is they can't afford to have duds that ruin the reputation. And not to speak bad on any individual player, like, it's not their fault, but the running back position can't afford to have a bad contract, because then it's going to look bad on the position as a whole. And I'm talking about Todd Gurley's contract with the Rams. Like, the whole league is going to say, see, wait, you can't. It didn't work out with Todd Gurley. He got the bag from LA. They were willing to pay him, you know, the lion's share of the market injuries. And then he gets injured and he's out of the league within 2 years. And that alone, that perception throughout the league then set the running back position, I think, back, because everyone's worried that that's going to happen to them. Whereas a wide receiver, they feel they can replace that.
Zeke got paid and his production went down continually every year with
Chris Johnson,
contract.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so they're in a tough spot. I'll just say, I mean, the running back position, we agree, it's not going anywhere. It is evolved, but you have just got to find a way. Like, if you are the guys who are special, when you can get money, take it. Like, you've got to take it. And that's part of the reason why I'm telling Josh Jacobs, like, just take the franchise tag. Like, $10 million is, if you're smart, like, you can use that to not have to really work for the rest of your life like that.
Yeah.
You can be, you know what I mean? Like, I get it. It's the NFL. Like, it should be different or whatever it might be. But like, when you can get that money, take it, invest it smart, and then get away from bad owners, bad situations who are going to use and abuse you. Like, get away from all of as much of that as you can. And you just got to hope your body holds up, treat your body right. And if you can now, if you're a kid in college or going to college, start capitalizing on that NIL, because a running back will always be a star in college. And you got to try to convert that, carry that stardom over to the NFL for the advertising dollars.
Just be a wide receiver or a quarterback and you'll be fine. That's the route to go right now. But yeah, the final thing here, we don't have to spend too much time on, because it's just confirming what we've already talked about here, but the average career length by position. And as you can see here, running back is by far the lowest. It's 2.57 years per career. The league average is 3.3 years. And I mean, this is also a good note, by the way, for like all of those aspiring NFL players out there to, and just the average fan as well, to just realize how difficult it is to pull off a long career. Not just, we're used to talking about Hall of Famers. How about we talk about the guys that last 8 to 12 years in this league that aren't Hall of Famers? That's pretty freaking amazing that you played 10 years in the NFL. I don't care if you're not a Hall of Famer or not. That's incredible. And so we see, you know, kickers and punters, 4.87, quarterbacks, 4.4, you know, linemen, 3.6, and so on and so forth. You know, receivers only 2.8, and that's because there's so many receivers that go into the league, and there's, you know, few that actually pan out and make it, and also because there's so many good receivers every year that come in that replace you. You have to constantly be competing for your roster spot.
Yeah, and look on the opposite end. O-line and D-line are two of the ones that have the longest careers. Why? Because they're not flashy. GMs, fan bases, they will turn on you quicker when you're dropping passes, when you get injured, when you fumble the football. They will turn on you. They will. And what happens then is it's easy in the draft. Just go, ooh, shiny new toy. This guy out of Oregon State ran for 1,400 yards. Just draft, and we can get him. And we can get
it's easier to replace. It's easier to replace those positions.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And like, look at how dumb I am. I'm a fan of a team, and I'm pumped about a fourth round running back. I'm more pumped about him than I am my star offensive lineman who out of Tennessee they drafted, 11th overall, whatever. You know what I mean? Like, because you just get, it's fantasy numbers and stuff. They turn on you quicker, and it's easier to just. Turn the tide. We drafted a new wide receiver. Like, look at how excited we are. Look at the highlights versus an offensive lineman. GMs just want to be like, Bakhtiari, are you still healthy? Coming back? Great. That just fill that in. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. Yeah. And then on top of it too, you know, each team holds 9 defensive linemen, 9 offensive linemen.
Yeah, there's
they
more.
They usually hold 3 running backs.
That's and it. So, yeah.
Not only a running back, are you more easily replaceable because they'll find someone, like you said, in the 5th round next year to fill that gap, and the learning curve is small. But if you've proven to be a good guard in the league, even if you're not a starter, you have value. Like, you're going to be that 6th, 7th man. That's the swing guy or, you know, and linemen get hurt all the time. Like, they need 8 quality linemen in the league to be able to get through a whole season. I mean, we saw what that did to the Chiefs a few years ago.
Yeah, if you have tape out there as a backup guard who at one point in time got in a game and handled Aaron Donald and blocked him well for like 2 or 3 plays, you got a fucking career for an extra three years. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But you're right. Like, that's how it works. Versus in the NFL, I look and I go, all right, well, now you're already 27. And yeah, you did just have 800 yards and you're productive and you have a name, but I can just spend one of my 6 fourth rounders on this kid out of Illinois.
Yeah. We only see the Hall of Fame running backs, the Adrian Petersons, the Frank Gores, go deep into their careers as, like, you know, staying on rosters well into their 30s, right? But the guys who were good, I mean, Marlon Mack was a name 4 years ago for the Colts.
Yeah.
He was good. He was a good running back. He had 2 years of, like, really solid production. I don't even think he's a 3rd-string running back right now.
I don't think.
I mean,
he's in the
these
league.
Are your, like, guy James if Robinson. If you were a lineman 3 years ago, that was good.
Your guy James Robinson out of Illinois State. It just got cut by the Patriots. Had a pop year, undrafted. Hopefully, made some money, and now it's done. It's over.
Prime example. Yep, that's a perfect example.
And
I
mean,
Dalvin Cook
I
love
was literally selling season tickets a year ago, and like jerseys out the wazoo. And now it's like, I got to hope there's an injury for the right place.
Yep. The Tyler Allgeier had 1,000 yards last year as a rookie running back, and they go and draft Bijan Robinson. And so that's probably the last we're going to hear of Tyler Allgeier. I mean, he'll be a good backup, and if Bijan gets hurt, he'll be a good starter. But who knows where he'll be. He will be at the end of his rookie contract, and it's at no fault of his own. I mean, he did everything right. James Robinson did everything right. Got hurt once. And they were like, well, we're willing to move on at this point. Like, we don't, we'll find other guys. It's an unfortunate, you know, circumstance. And so, after all of that, we are here to tell you, we have no definitive conclusion as to what to do about the running backs, other than the position is going to have to evolve a little bit more. And, you know, maybe it's a thing where teams are just going to have to use 2 running backs way more frequently. And the days of a true 3-down, 25-touch-a-game running back, those may be slipping away slowly unless you're a Christian McCaffrey or something
You've got to do just a couple things to give yourself the best chance. You've got to stay healthy if you're a running back. That will help you. You've got to prove to your team that you can do everything they want you to do. And then you've got to be a great locker room guy. There's got to be – because, you know what I mean? We talk about those backup quarterbacks like the Mitch Trubisky's who will be in the league for as long as they want because it's like, that dude's a good locker room dude, and he can handle a game or two if a guy goes down. Like, if you're a running back, it's just part of it. And honestly, when you have your chance, you've got to make the most of it. You've got to pop. I mean, look at Khalil Herbert for the Bears. Like, he's now going to get his chance to probably start. And if by week three or four, he's not popping the way it is, it's going to be Roschon. And like, if Roschon capitalizes on his opportunity, and it's a quick changing, but the NFL, that's sports in general. And that's the NFL. And there's always new guys ready to take your spot. And you know, you have to know that if you're trying to become a professional athlete in any profession, that's the name of the game. So my advice is always would be smart with your money. And then now try to, if you're a running back, especially try to really capitalize on the NIL. The NIL, I think, can help you handle this and make yourself a bigger star and maybe get you drafted in the first round. So you get that extra couple $1 million guaranteed on your contract as a first rounder compared to being a second, third, fourth, fifth rounder where you're getting pennies on the dollar comparatively and you're easier to cut. Make yourself a star. Make the teams want that star power to come in and sell the jerseys, like Bijan was, to make it like you can't miss prospect.
Yeah, it's one of those things where you're probably gonna have to play chess, not checkers, at this point, and that's a prime example of a way to do that. So yeah, that's worthy advice for any of those young running backs out there for sure. But
yeah,
we'll see what happens with Saquon and Josh Jacobs in terms of the franchise tag. Like we said, we have a week, so by the time we're talking on our next show, we'll likely have an answer to that question, and we'll see what happens with Dalvin Cook. Perhaps later on this summer, shortly before the season begins, to see where he ends up. But that's three of the better running backs in the league that the questions are abound about their destinations for this season and beyond. So, word of the wise: you try and avoid the running back market if you can. It seems to be decreasing steadily, and hope this provided some insights for those of you that have been wondering about the position and where it's headed and kind of what got us to this point. But that will do it for Mark and myself. As always, please subscribe, like the episode. That really helps us out big time in the algorithm, pushes us out to more people and gets us noticed if you like and subscribe. So please do that. Check us out on social media, as always, at FB Lounge Pod on Twitter. We're on Instagram now, and we've got a Threads joining the new trend.
Whoa.
The Threads trend. Hell yeah. Let's go. Check us out there as well. We'll be posting reels and YouTube shorts on top of that. So yeah, a lot of fun things to check out, and be sure to follow the For Frequency Sake podcast network as well. And their fantasy football show, the For Fantasy Sake, we'll be getting going at the end of next month, so be tuned for that for your fantasy football needs throughout the season. And you can play in their Toys for Tots League as well, so sign up there. Lots of good stuff to look forward to. We appreciate you all, and we will see you here next time.